Good morning, everybody. Welcome to today will be the 28th of March. Can you believe we're already here? The 28th of March, the end of the third month. I want to remind you to go to Tom and Sarah YouTube channel, podcast, Spotify podcast, Apple Cup podcast. Tom and Sarah, look me up. Like, comment, subscribe, share. The videos, the audios, this is one way that you can help the ministry, you can help my ministry in getting me. I'm not so much concerned about the numbers as much as it is the message. And I'm excited about what God is doing. If you want to know more about my ministry, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, that's the way to get a hold of me. If you want to give into the ministry, it's Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, and I'll give you different ways we can do that. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. We do the checks, everything else. Just email me, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com, and I'll go ahead and I'll get the information to you. So we've been, yesterday we started to pick up on a theme called revival. It's important for me to share this, because my desire is to see a sustained revival and a revival that will never end. And Bob Jones prophesied a billion soul revival after the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. He was passed away for, he had already been passed away. And he had this deal where he said that when the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, that there was going to be a billion souls revival. In 2019, I had a vision. The Lord said, stop praying for revival and start preparing for revival. He said, first there will be a great shaking, and then after that, the billions, plural, souls revival, which means at least 2 billion of the 8 billion people on earth are going to be born again. So I'm excited about it. I want to see this in my lifetime, but I just don't want a revival. I want a sustained revival. I'm going to talk today somewhat of Evan Roberts. And Evan Roberts, the man of the Welsh revival, he asked for one man who would believe with him for 100,000 souls. The Welsh revival ended up with at least 100,000 souls. Sports arenas were closed down. They had the normal Super Bowl for them would be the soccer championship. And for 3 years, it was closed down. You'll see it written down, revival, period. The idea here is to understand that revival supersedes what's going on in society. It overwhelms what's going on in society. That is, that sin no longer is rampant, but that a honoring and a submission to the Holy Spirit is alive. In Wales, bars closed down. They laid off people in the police force because no crime was being committed. So they had nothing to do. So they had to lay them off. God provided for them in other areas. Now, I want to tell you the prayer of Evan Roberts was for 100,000 souls, but he would pray, Lord, bend me. Lord, bend us. In other words, humble us. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, then I will forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. Understand this. God doesn't humble you. You have to humble yourself. God, the Bible says, is opposed to the proud. He actively fights against people who are proud. But the Bible says he gives grace to the humble. Grace is not only getting what we don't deserve. Grace has also the power to overcome sin. To understand this, you have to understand that we don't have to sin if we don't want to. Before we are born again, we are on this habit of sinning. It's a habit of ours to lie, to cheat, to steal, to cuss, to be prideful, to be arrogant. And you end up being a part of this thing. And it's a habit of ours. And we have to break that habit. How do you break the habit? How do you break the tide of sin? How do you break what you do? Does it come from self-discipline and consciously not doing something? I don't think so. I think that it comes from a total submission to the Lord, understanding that you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You can push him away by sinning. And David prayed that prayer in Psalm 51, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." You don't want to push the Holy Spirit away. You have to be cognizant of the fact that the Holy Spirit is with you. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is with you. He'll never leave you, the Bible says. Now, there are times when I'd like to leave the Holy Spirit on the porch or outside the building when I'm about to do something wrong. When I just want to leave Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, outside of a building where I'm at, if I'm about to do something wrong, look at them and say, "I'll pick you up a little bit later. Let me go take care of this." Go yell at the owner of the business. Go yell at the customer service person, whatever. The deal is that Jesus said he'll never leave you. The Father said, "I will never leave you. The Holy Spirit will never leave you." So he goes in and he actually does that, not does it, but he's there when you are sinning. I don't want to put God in that awkward place. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. That word quench deals with like a candle. You snuff that out. Grieving is when you literally make him sad. He is a person. And when we sin, we grieve him. I ask the Lord to show me when I am grieving him. I have to live in such a way that I am conscious of the fact that the dove is ever with me. The dove will never leave me. And I have to live conscious that I want him always there with me. Evan Roberts was such a man. "Lord, bend me. Bend me," was his prayer. Eventually, 100,000 souls were won at the Welsh Revival between 1904 and 1905. The whole nation was turned to God. We have to recognize that the Holy Spirit wants to take us into realms that we only have imagined. I don't want to just read about revivals anymore. I want to have a revival. The Welsh revival was started through prayer. The Azusa Street revival was started with prayer. The Great Awakening was started with prayer. Charles Finney would see cities born again, but it was started with a prayer not only from him, but from Father Nash. Father Nash, many times they said, would pray so loud that he would pound his shoe on the ground, and you can hear him a quarter mile away. Have we ever been desperate for God to show up? Or not necessarily to show up because he's always there, but to make himself real, make himself manifest. I remember I was in Western Washington University, that area, and had a bicycle. And this guy, and we were just kind of there, and this guy shows up, and we were witnessing to him. And he said that, "I won't believe you unless I can feel him." I said, "Okay." So we prayed a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. And at that moment, there was such a presence of God that was unequaled. There was such a major presence of God. It was like a thick presence. And then after, and I don't know how long it was, after however long, we all kind of looked up from and looked at each other. And this guy on the bicycle said, "Whoa." He had encountered the Lord. Now, I mentioned yesterday that I had a dream, or it was either a vision or a dream. I don't remember. It was something like that. A vision, whatever. It didn't matter. But it was real, and it was an open vision. I know that. And the Lord said that that there is a, he said this revival is actually going to encompass all generations. It's going to encompass both genders and every denomination of true believers. The Pentecostals are going to get hungry for the Word of God. The Baptists are going to get hungry for more Holy Spirit. There's going to be a unity in the church like never before. I'll share this story. Jackson Samyanga, I think his name is, from Uganda, was sharing a story about Fiji. And Fiji at that time had a problem with their land. The land was gray. It kind of looked like a TV version or a TV show set in the 30s. There was no, the water was poisoned. The life on the banks of the river were dying. And the president of the country said, and this is really cool, the president of the country called in all of the pastors. And he said, "If you guys don't come into unity, our country is going to die." So he locked them in the room until they all came into unity. They did, and the land started to receive its color again. It's powerful. That, my friends, is powerful. When we can come into unity. Right now, the church is bickering. Now, I got to tell you this. If you have ever been hurt by the church, it wasn't Jesus that did it to you. It was religion that did it to you. And if you get offended and if you get pushed aside by your church, that's on you. It's not Jesus that did it to you. So don't blame him that the church was negligent in their role to disciple, negligent in their role to bring Jesus. We have to turn this thing around, man. When I was pastoring, people would come to me and say, "Pastor, we need to have this done. We need to get that done. We need to do this, and we need to do that." And every time they would do that, I would say, "Cool, go ahead. Cool, go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you." If you're seeing something is missing in your church, God's placed it on your heart to fulfill that. This is how revival starts. Unity of the Spirit, unity of people. Are you going to have differing of opinions? Sure. Unity has nothing to do with whether you believe the same thing or not. Unity has everything to do with being on the same boat, together, going in the same direction. I may disagree with people. They may disagree with me. It's fine. We have one purpose and one goal, and that is to depopulate hell and populate heaven. To see God's kingdom come on earth the same way as it is in heaven. You have to recognize that in order for revival to take place, the church has to walk in unity. I want you to understand something here. To have a sustained revival, you have to walk in unity with the body of Christ. Now, there are some people on YouTube that have, I don't know, put it upon themselves to bring correction to the church with differing of interpretations. But listen, it's not, yeah, people will talk bad about another ministry because they don't do things exactly the way that they do them. And I'm like, leave it alone, man. Because I'm not so-and-so doesn't negate anything that I have to say. And because I believe the Holy Spirit is alive and well, does not negate the fact that there are people out there that don't think he is. I don't agree with them. Can I still walk with them? Sure. When Charles Finney was going through, he would have 3 days inquirers meetings so people will be born again. Today, all somebody has to do is pray, you know, believe, you know, confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised them from the dead. And they'll be saved. And they usually are saved in a moment that was fought for years ago. Now, you know somebody has truly repented when they don't act the same way, or that they feel bad that they're acting the same way. Having a change of heart is a big deal. That's part of revival. I want to see my city, Reading, be one for Jesus. One, O-N-E, for sure, but one WON as well. I want to see the lost born again. So over the next few days, I'm going to talk about these revivalists, revivals, how they started. I'll share some reasons why they may have ended. And then we're going to talk about how to keep them going. So stay with me during these times. So I want to remind you that you can get a hold of me, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. And you can get a hold of, you can give into the ministry. I'm going to be going to BSSM next year. And I'm going to be not only learning, but also being filled with the presence of God. And my heart's desire is to carry the presence of God with me wherever I go. That's my heart's desire. And if you want to give into that, I need, you know, close to $6,000 for the school. I have $140 already. And then there's a missions trip at the end, so it comes out to about $7,000. Depends on where I go on my missions trip. So I'm basically looking, currently I'm looking for either 1,000 people to give me $5.50, 100 people to give me $55, 500 people to give me $12.50 or $24, $25. Whatever it is, would you pray and ask God, what are you to give into this? I kind of wish that I didn't have to ask for money, but God put it on my heart that there are people out there who want to do that, who want to be able to give and invest in a ministry. All right, well, God bless you guys. That's all we're going to do today. We're going to deal some more with Evan Roberts. We're going to deal some more with William Seymour, their contemporaries. We're going to deal with Catherine Coleman, Amy Semple McPherson, John G. Lake, Billy Graham. We're going to deal with some of these. Why did those revivals end? The Jesus Revolution? And then, of course, we're going to go into how to keep them and how to sustain a revival for this time. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time.